Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Some of you may be thinking, what's up with this church and space? You walked in, there was a rocket, there's rockets everywhere, we've got spaceman going on here. And we just feel like, you know, there's a huge, what's the word? We feel like we have a lot in common with that whole space exploration, because that was John F. Kennedy describing the whole space program. And that was before anything had happened. I mean, they sent up a few rockets, but man had never been in space before. And then they were talking about landing a man on the moon and then bringing him back safely. You know, they just didn't do that by having a wish in their heart. They had a strategy, they had a plan. But more than anything, they had a purpose. There was something that they were trying to do. And you know what? Because of that, they ended up going somewhere where no one else had ever been. And as a church, if it's okay with you, I want us to end up somewhere where God wants us to be, even if it means it's somewhere that no church has ever been to. And I want us to see great things happen in our church this year. And so we're going to stay along this theme all year about space, because you know what? You know, we talk about the sky being the limit. Well, it's not true, guys. There is space out there as well. And we need to lift our eyes and have a huge expectation from God. And so we're going to be going down that road today. And you guys are going to be a whole lot louder than that. Amen. Because it's exciting. It's Vision Sunday. I love Vision Sunday. Do you know, I love when people achieve their purpose. And I love when they do something that they've been doing for a long time and then they start to see some success. Let me just tell you about one of those people before I even start. There's a guy called Anthony Taylor in our church. Anyone know Anthony Taylor? Anyone know Anthony Taylor? Anthony Taylor is the guy that we dust off, pull him out of the cupboard for Christmas and Easter. That's what people say. Why do you only pull that guy out for Easter and Christmas? Well, Anthony Taylor is, we may not know it because, what's it called? I call it country music, but am I allowed to call it country music? Country people? Is that okay? No, I know you're not allowed to call it country and Western, because that's just demonic, but you can call it country. So Anthony Taylor is huge in the country scene. So he just went to Tamworth, and in, you know, 10 days, he did 31 gigs, right? He's absolutely huge, and he has just released an album. And this album is absolutely out of control. He has poured a lot of his own funds into it. But I'm thinking as a church, you know what? Yeah, when someone does something like that, why don't we get behind them? So I've purchased two of them, and one for me, one to give away. And I just think it's a great thing to do, because people have got dreams in their heart, and it's good to back their dream and to help them achieve their dream in Jesus' name. Amen. So Anthony, wherever you are, we give you a huge round of applause. We think you're amazing. We love you. Avocado with some eggs, bacon, a couple of pieces of bread. That's what I'm eating for my first meal. Come on, in Jesus' name. Okay, you have a good time at church? Let's go. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for every person in this room. Thank you, Lord God, that they're here today because, Lord, we're hungry, not just physically, but spiritually for you. God, we want to see what you've got for us today. Help us, Lord, to rejoice and to allow ourselves, God, to rise up to the challenge. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Vision Sunday 2018. Before we get to 2018, let's just celebrate a little bit about 2017. Amen. So 2017, we celebrated 15 years as a church. I thought that was amazing. Come on, clap your hands. Yeah, it's good to do that. And I thought that was amazing. We had a great time and we celebrated that and lots of people came and it was fantastic. Do you know, we had our most attended Flourish conference. Our last Flourish conference was the most attended. And ladies, was it okay? Did you have a good time there? We thought that was amazing too. So some of you may know, but we're actually having Flourish for the first time in Poznan in 2018 as well. So that's going to be great. You know, we had three incredible Christmas services. Would you agree? And we saw just over 2,000 people come to that. So that was absolutely fantastic. I thought it was great. You know, something you may not be aware of is, you know, every week, thousands of people download the podcast. And some of them, some of those people are you, because you want it on your phone or for whatever reason, listen to it again. Some of those people used to be a part of our church, but they now live overseas. So Dom and Carrie would be one of those people. There's another guy called Jacob Iliopoulos. He now plays for a European soccer club. And he sent me a beautiful message, and he said, "Pastor Richard, I just want to thank you for your podcast. They keep me alive." Isn't that amazing? So that's what's going on with our podcast. So by the way, if you want to send those, they're so easy to send. When you actually listen to a podcast, you can send it to a friend just through SMS, and they can just open that up and it opens up to that. Do you know, we saw at North Campus 330 people make a decision for Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? They're your friends, your family. We saw 44 people do that at the East Campus, and we saw 70 people do that in Poznan, which is absolutely awesome. I love that. Last year we raised $272,000 in our miracle offering, so some of you would remember that. And this year is off to a great start. Did you know that this year already, and I feel like it's a part of last year because it sort of happened before Vision Sunday, but did you know that 31 young people have already been baptized in the name of Jesus since last year? All happening at youth camp. Isn't that amazing? 31 young people baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think it's absolutely awesome. So in praying for this year, God, what have you got for us this year? You know, it's always important, senior pastor, you pray. And then whatever God downloads in your heart, you tell your team, and then they pray, and then we all speak into it. But it's important that we do ask God, "God, where are we headed? What are we doing next? What are we becoming next? And what attitudes do you want us to take on for this particular year?" And in praying about this year, this is the scripture that God gave me. And the title of our year comes out of this, which you've already heard. And it's in John 18. It says, "Then Pilate said to him," that's Jesus, "So you're a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Jesus is saying very clearly that he was doing life on purpose. And so that's what we've titled the year, Life on Purpose. You know, Jesus had a purpose, and Jesus still has that same purpose in mind. And what is it? That people who are far from God could come into a relationship with him. That was Jesus' purpose. Every day that Jesus woke up in his short life on earth, you know, he's still alive, amen, we still know that, right? Short life on earth, every time Jesus put his feet on his dirt floors where he lived, he was thinking, "I've got a purpose." And I tell you what, guys, I honestly believe that God wants us as a church to feel the same way, and that God wants you in your own life to feel the same way, that you would feel like you've got a purpose. And Jesus declared his purpose, and we've heard this many times in this church. Jesus said, "I've come to seek and to save that which is lost." Friends, that was his purpose, and it still is his purpose, and it will be his purpose until he comes back for us one day. Jesus is still seeking and saving lost people. He reiterates his purpose in Luke 4:43. He says, "But Jesus said to them, 'I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose.'" Jesus knew what he was here for. God has a purpose for this church. Did you know that? I love that. You know, when I pastor this church, I'm not just making stuff up as I go. This is how I pastor this church. Are you ready? "What are you saying, God?" "Yep." "Oh, okay." And then I do it. "Yeah." "Oh, what are you saying, God?" "Okay." "Oh, are you sure?" "Yeah." "Okay." And then let's do it. That's what. That's how Jesus did life. Whatever I hear my Father say, he says, I say. So I'm not making this up as we go. We're hearing and then we're doing. And God's got a purpose for this church. But guess what? When I say church, I'm not talking about the stage, guys. I'm not talking about the data projectors and the lights. That's not the church. You are the church. So when I say God's got a purpose for this church, he's got a purpose for you. It's you. It's your life. It's my life. It's everybody. Do you know, I don't know whether you've worked this out or not, but people want to live for a purpose. And you know, sometimes because we don't give people that purpose and they're desperate for it, they will find another purpose. So recently when ISIS rose up, they put out on social media that they had a purpose. Now, we don't like their purpose, but if we don't give people a purpose, a young person will escape out of our country. I mean, not, you know, you don't have to escape out of our country, but you've got to sort of work your way into those areas. And they will put their life on the line, be happy to put up with conditions that we would never put up with. Why? Just because they feel like they've got a purpose in life. It's amazing what people do. I want to tell you, you don't need to do that. You can have a purpose right here, right now, in this place. You can have a purpose. God has got a huge purpose. One of the greatest selling books in recent times, and even to this day, is Rick Warren, who's a pastor of a church, who wrote a book called, wait for it, The Purpose-Driven Life. It was a New York Times bestseller, not just a Christian bestseller, because even people who don't go to church want to pick up a book that talks about purpose. And guess what? When you open that up, the first words in that book are, it's not about you. Full stop. That's the first line in the book. And people kept reading it. I'll tell you why. Because you know what? Life's pretty boring when you just live for yourself. And if you don't a greater purpose, a higher purpose, friends, the enemy will create a purpose for you. And I want to encourage you, why don't you get onto God's purpose for your life? Why don't we get onto God's purpose for our church and for our world? Give the Lord a huge round of applause. Do you know Time magazine? I thought I had a picture there, but of the actual article. There it is there. Look at that. Having a sense of purpose helps you live longer. Time magazine, health. Having a sense of purpose helps you to live long. Why? Because there's a driving force in you, because it makes you say, I'm not going to do that with my life because I'm very busy doing this. I'm not going to abuse my body because I've got a purpose. I've got something to live for. I'm not going to put chemicals in my body or do things with that person or go to that place because God's got a purpose for me and I'm going to fulfill it. That's why people with a sense of purpose live longer. Is it okay that I want you to live longer? I want your children to live longer. We've got to give them a sense of purpose. Come on, some of you would know people who have worked their whole life, maybe in the same job, maybe different careers. They get to 65, they retire. Now, some of you would know this, that if that person doesn't then go on to find another purpose, come on, you know what happens to those people. They die, they have heart attacks, they get diseases, because something in their mindset says, there's nothing else to live for, just die. And, you know, they may go to the shops and do a little bit of grocery shopping, but essentially, there's no purpose. Yeah. How do I know that's true? My dad was a classic example of that. While he was busy in his business, even though he had some things going on, I tell you what, he was just powering through, woke up every morning, 6 a.m. As soon as he got out of that place, had no purpose, his health just deteriorated very, very, very quickly. So I want to challenge you. Come on, have a purpose for your life. Yeah. It's good for you. It's good for your health. And as we're going to see, it's also good for our world. You know, recently a whole generation of people connected with an album by an artist called Justin Bieber. Yeah. I love that album. That album's just a classic. But you know, the whole album is called, wait for it, Purpose. Purpose. And then he even writes a song on the album called Purpose. Do you know where he got that from? Because Justin was very lost. You can read this for yourself. He was very lost. He had all the money in the world, all the fame, and anything that he wanted, he could have, except he was lacking one thing, purpose. And so he found himself literally in jail one day for a couple of days. Do you remember that? Orange suit, jail. And so his mum said, you know, what's your problem? You don't have a purpose. And so she rings up a pastor in America and they start connecting. All of a sudden, he goes to New York City one day. Hears a message about purpose. And he gives his life to Jesus. And he becomes a Christian. Now, some of you may think, really, is he a Christian? Well, listen, let's not judge. But all I know is the guy has got a purpose. It means a lot to him. And right now, he's just trying to follow God. He's trying to do what he can do. Purpose. I think that's a classic example and illustration, because some of us are thinking that things are going to give us purpose. Now, my challenge to all of us here today is, guys, you've got to live for something bigger than yourself. Something bigger. Something, wait for it, that is eternal, that will live forever. For some of you, it's like, oh, I've got a purpose. I'm trying to build a house. What happens when you build a house? Wow. Yeah. Oh, no, I've got a better purpose. I'll build a house. I've got a better purpose. I'm gonna raise a family. Well, what happens when your kids are all grown up and they're living in different countries? And what are you going to do then? What's your purpose then? Wow. Oh, no, I've got a different, my purpose is I'm going to be very successful and I'm going to have multi-business. Friends, listen, I want to challenge you about something. Everything that you do in life, if it's not connected to God's purpose, you will leave it on the earth. Wow. And some of us think, oh, I own my home. You don't own anything. Someone else is going to own that place in 80 years. Someone else is going to be showing people through the lounge room going, do you like my lounge room? You're not going to own it for too long. The only reason you can buy a 1920 classic car was because someone else used to own it. They don't own it anymore. Are you hearing? They don't own it. Listen, we get to steward some things for a little while. Okay, but we're going to get to a place where we go, listen, there's nothing wrong with having things, but you've got to live for something better than that, something bigger than that, something that lasts forever, something you can take into the kingdom. Come on, we're going to get a little bit more passionate about Jesus' purpose more than we're getting passionate about Bitcoin. Yeah, there's a lot of passion going on for Bitcoin at the moment. And what you don't realize is that God's got a bit more coin than you can ever imagine. Oh, boom! Yeah. I wonder if I was to walk up to you and say, hey, so what's your purpose? What's your purpose? For some of you, it is eternal. It starts on earth, but it's eternal. What do I mean by that? Oh, Pastor Richard, my purpose at the moment is to build a house. Oh, great, that's awesome. That's great. But what's your purpose? My purpose is to get people into it, love them, care for them, teach them anything I can teach them, affect their life, love them, help them, get them out of their depression. I'm going to use this home for eternal purpose. That's a great purpose. Wow. Hey, sir, what's your business? What's your purpose? I'm building a business. Oh, it's going to be multi-million dollars. It's going to be, that's fantastic. So far, I haven't heard anything eternal. Nothing eternal. Nothing eternal yet. I want to tell you something. Friend, go ahead, do that. But nothing is stopping you from connecting your purpose to God's purpose. And His purpose is absolutely huge. Come on, give Him a round of applause. Did you know that God wants your life to count? He wants your life to count. He wants you to be on your deathbed and you could honestly say, you know what, I would have liked to have stuck around a few more years, but at the end of the day, I feel like I fulfilled my purpose. You know, God wants that for you. You know, He wants your life to have an impact. He wants your life to make a difference. That's what God wants for you. My question to you is, do you want that for you? Do you want to make a difference? Let me tell you what Jesus is trying to do. This is His purpose, friends. He's trying to bring hope to the world. He's trying to restore dignity to the world. He's trying to reach, he's trying to bring forgiveness into the world. He's trying to bring peace into the world. The question is, how does Jesus do that? Well, you know, in this church, we believe something really crazy. Are you ready? We believe with all of our hearts, and we have for a long time, that the local church is the hope of the world. I believe that with all, I'm glad three of you are excited. I cannot tell you anything better than that. Friends, when we gather into this place, we're not just here to just sort of entertain ourselves. No, what we are doing is we are dispensers. We are an outlet. We are a retailer for Jesus Christ. And what we are dispensing, what we are giving people is peace, hope, forgiveness, a future, potential. That's what this place is all about. And you know what, in our last service, we saw that happen. We're going to see it again in this service. And we saw it in five services ago. And we're going to see it in another five services to come. We are a dispenser of hope. Amen. The local church. Listen, not Richard, not Helen. The local church is the hope of the world. And when we start to think like that, we start to think, wow, okay. So this isn't just about me coming here and getting something. No, this is about you giving something. This is about us coming and saying, you know what? I'm going to help this place. I'm going to help God's cause, because when you do that, you will help your cause. You will help your purpose. You know, I love our government. How many of you thank God for our government? Yeah, yeah, come on. Yeah, yeah. I'm a liberal voter. Don't worry about that. How many of you are glad that we live in a great country? It's safe. We don't have tanks rolling down the street. We have health care. You can get a job. You will never starve in Australia. You will never starve in Australia. There are organisations, mostly Christian organisations, that will feed you. Isn't that great? Can't say that about every country. But listen, let me tell you what our government can't do. They can't bring the forgiveness of God into people's lives. They can't change mindsets. They can't change people's hearts. Do you know, wars start because two people want the same thing and neither of them will back down. They've got a greed or a lust in their heart. Do you know, the only answer to the world's problems is Jesus. Yeah. No, I think government can sort out a when will governments finally sort this out? We've got a government in every country. When are governments going to finally... No, they're not. But listen, let me be very simplistic with you. Imagine everybody became a Jesus follower. Imagine. And everybody turned the other cheek when they got done wrong by. Everybody was just loving, forgiving, non-judgmental. Imagine the whole world was like that. Can you imagine what a world like that will look like? Well, one day, it's going to happen when Jesus comes back and he becomes the king of this earth. And it's going to happen. But until then, we are bringing the kingdom. You know, people are asking questions. Will marriages always end in divorce? You know, will terrorism always win? People are asking these questions. And because they're asking these questions and there are no answers, they think it leads to depression. And so we planted this church with a wonderful team and a hope-filled dream. And it simply goes like this, friends. This is what we are trying to do as a church. This is Vision Sunday. You ready? We just want to connect people to Jesus and his church, creating passionate followers of Christ. That's all I'm trying to do. Week in, week out, no matter what it is that we do, next week, the week after, another week after that. That's what this church is all about. I would pray every church does that, and maybe they do. I don't know. That's what this church is all about. We are connecting people to Jesus and his church, creating passionate followers of Christ. And then we know this, that if we do that for a long time, here comes our vision statement, that we would become a large, Jesus-centered church, full of grace and truth, reaching and equipping all generations around the world. And that's exactly what we have become. Come on, let's give the Lord a huge shout in this place. I love this. I love this because, you know, as you connect to God's vision, when you connect to his purpose, friends, it only raises yours. You know, Acts 26, Jesus speaks to the Apostle Paul. Have a look at what he says to him in Acts 26, 16. Jesus says, Paul, he says, but rise and stand on your feet. Can you all repeat that after me? But rise and stand on your feet. One more time. But rise and stand on your feet. And then here comes the purpose. For I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. Listen to what he's saying. Before Jesus can really use you to make him known, he needs you internally, externally, to rise and to stand. Come on, we're going to rise up out of our depression and stand. We're going to rise up out of our I can't do it mentality. We're going to rise up with all the negative things that come. God says, come on, rise. You got to rise because there's a purpose. Oh, I don't think I can achieve that. No, God says you can. And before he tells him what he's going to do, he needs him to find his purpose. He needs him to find what has God called me to do? And then as you work out what God's called you to do, then you attach it to God's purpose. Let me tell you something. God will never give you a purpose in life without attaching it to his. Why? Because his purpose is eternal. And he wants you to feel fulfilled, not just on earth, but also in heaven. But first we've got to rise and stand. Hey, listen, some of you have been hurt in relationships. Like, you've been really hurt. And I understand that. And it's painful. But I want to tell you right now, God's calling you to rise out of that. It's time to rise, and you need to stand up on your own two feet and say, I am a great person. I am worthy of a great relationship. Doesn't matter what he said to you, what she said to you, whatever they said, listen, you've got to rise up out of that and believe that God's got a plan for your life. He's got a purpose for your life. God's got things ready to roll out for you. Come on, you've got to rise up with your faith. Spitting everywhere here. I'm passionate about this, friends. This is why I will pastor this church, because this is what we are all about. You know that God can't fulfill his purpose until you find yours. God can't build this church until he builds your life. That's the way it works, friends. God can't cause this church to rise until we individually rise. You know the reason why so many people are putting substances into their body, and listen, wait for it. This is the word we use. They are abusing their body. Have you heard that word? Yeah. They're abusing. Substance abuse, yeah. Right? People are abusing their body. You know, when you break up that word, listen to the word. Abuse. It's not the use. Wow. When you abuse your body with substances and things you shouldn't be doing, that's just a clear sign you haven't found your purpose. Wow. Because when you know that you're a hammer, you start hammering nails. You don't behave like a screwdriver. And some of us, we're screwdrivers, but you're behaving like a saw. Or some of you are a toaster, but you think you're a fridge. This is a little bit, you know, like, let me just ad lib here for a moment. You know, last time I walked up to my fridge, I didn't walk up to it and the fridge goes, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do in life. You know, the fridge knows what he's got to do. He knows, I keep things cold. That right down there, I freeze things. Right, they're the two things that I do. If you want to use me. If you don't, I don't care. Right? Then you walk up to the toaster. Excuse me, Mr. Toaster, what do? Oh, you put some bread in me, and then I sort of, you know, darker, crumpets, whatever you want. But, you know, I basically burn things. Right? I basically burn. Okay, are you sure you don't make things cold? I don't make things cold. No. I stay away from making things cold. I make things hot. I burn them. Right? That's what I do. So you've got a toaster, you've got a fridge. Isn't that a shame that when you talk to human beings, so what are you, what's your purpose? Well, I've got no idea. Wow. Got no idea. So you're telling me a fridge understands who he is, and a toaster knows who they are, but a human being goes, I don't know, I've got no idea, mate. Are you kidding me? No. You have got a purpose. You have got an absolute purpose in God. You've got a great purpose. Now, here comes the really great news. Every one of you have got a purpose. Oh, no, Pastor Rich, I've made mistakes. You don't understand. I like what you're saying, but it's for that person over there, because they're like, they're awesome. But I've had this situation. I've been divorced. I went bankrupt. No, I hurt that person. I lied. I broke my parents' heart. I cheated on someone. Yeah, so I like what you're saying, but it's for them, not for me. Well, you know, Romans chapter 8 would have something to say to you. This is what God says. Romans chapter 8. It says, and we know that all things. How many things? How many things?
All.
Do you know what all means there in the Greek? All. Right? And it says, and we know that all things. Is that including the bad things? Yeah, all things work together for good to those who love God, and to those who are called according to his purposes. God's got a purpose. He's got a purpose. And you'll never get over your mistake. You'll never find that purpose for your life if you don't understand that God's got a purpose for you. And God's going to take that mistake and he's going to somehow bless someone's life out of it. Come on, you're not second class in this place. You've got a purpose. God's got a purpose for you. Let me tell you what God's first purpose is for your life. To have the forgiveness of God in your life. Come on, we've all done things wrong. He wants to forgive us. He wants to bring hope. He wants to bring some peace. But most of all, he wants to make you feel like you're actually on track in life. That's the greatest thing I think he can bring. Because all those other things deal with the negative. Then God brings in the positive. But first, God does have to deal with the negative. So my question is this. If you feel like you've done something that has separated you from God, I know that I did. You know, I got involved in stuff I shouldn't be involved in. I was, you know, because I didn't know my purpose, guys. I didn't know my purpose. So as I turned 16, my parents had money. My mum was quite famous. I could have done what I wanted to do. And because I had no purpose, I started taking drugs. Because there was nothing else to do. And the minute I heard the gospel, I went, I could live for that for the rest of my life. I could live for that. I could live for that. Yeah, I could do that. And immediately, it's like, oh, don't wanna, you know, I actually did try it one more time, even after I found Jesus, because all my mates were doing it. I thought I'd be cool, you know, cool. So I thought, let's be cool. And you know, it had the opposite effect on me. I became depressed, I was angry. Whereas it used to make me laugh, now it had, it's like, that was like God saying to me, you don't need that stuff anymore. And you know, and so I stopped it. I haven't touched that stuff since last week, I promise. It's just, it's done now. It's that was a long time ago. It seems like a distant memory. Come on, get some purpose in your life. What are you living for? What are you living for? What gets you up every day? Come on, find your purpose, friend.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.